Brahmacon, the continuation, wherever it's going to lead, the foundation. I don't want to, you know, speak about myself or why I should be listened to here, but I mean, as I said to a couple of days ago when we were talking, that, you know, I'm from a small town here in Sweden. My father had a little factory making trousers. And so I had all my relatives, uncles and aunts, and I mean, you know, in small towns, especially in the 50s, 60s, you took care of yourself and you do things the proper way. And the adults, you know, who had their businesses, and they were the pillars of the town. And they knew how things should be done right and when it's not right. I mean, I grew up with that, and I'm grateful actually to these men and women, because Swedish people, which sometimes now have to be a little heavy again, I've heard, and you have so too if you're my age, especially leaders coming in from other countries, certain big countries, big, tough, competent, great leaders, sometimes talking bad about the Swedes. Oh, they are impersonal, and oh, they are weak, and they don't get things done. But that's all they see, because what happens is when you, Mr. Power Player, comes in, I think do it. They have a need to have this big power position. And the Swedes, they go, okay, here's another one. But they will not come, at least not maybe a majority of Swedes, they will not come and confront you, such as Americans or Germans or others will do. Russians. These are much tougher places where you got to really, you know, either you're a winner or a loser, and you got to fight for yourself and for what's right. I mean, Swedish people and Scandinavian people, they are more laid back in that way. And we have been speaking about this. But the Swedes are good at businesses, they are good at organizing things, they keep things in order. And you can see it if you go out, look around here, compared to walk around in, you know, your fantastic Bharat Varsha today. I hope it's better today, but I'm just saying it because some of the people from over there may think they are also far superior to the little funny Swedes. But that's kind of my point, that we don't want imperialism. Let the funny Swedes figure out how to run the Krishna consciousness movement in Sweden in ways, of course, according to Prabhupada's instructions, but also that work here. And when you do, then I tell you, many Swedish people will come and be very interested in the Krishna consciousness movement. And that's really why I am talking all this. I'm not a politician here trying to grab some power position, which, yes, has been through the years, sometimes even the rule rather than exception when there is some situation, a vacancy or whatever. But I was never in that. And some think, I also heard, they consider me, what was it, controversial and like an agitator or something like that. And I mean, those of you who know me, you know I was never a politician kind of person, a power player. Yes, I was a temple president for, like, what was it, 3-4 years in Gothenburg. But as I said, I took that up more as a preacher. I wanted to actually develop the congregation, which we didn't have back then very much in any of our temples. So I'm that kind of person. I like to learn things and teach and speak, and as you can understand and see here. So don't take it now that this is some kind of old Vishnupad disciple, as we used to call ourselves, who want to be in charge. Now, rather, I'm saying the opposite, that we here in Sweden, we know how to work together without having this big guy on top there, or girl, who tells everyone what to do, and we just look for the big leader who will tell us what to do. If you find that mentality among the devotees in the Swedish yatra, let's be a little personal here, sorry, talking about the reality around us, then I would rather say it's because when you come here and you start to rule us, I'm talking to you foreigners now, you know who you are, and I'm not anti-foreigner, but I mean those in leadership position. And I know how you think, because I've been sitting in meetings talking in English, with English speaking, not coming from this region, leaders talking, and I mean, we sometimes shake our heads a little at how arrogantly sometimes they were talking about Swedish devotees and Swedes in general. And you know, the thing is with us in Sweden, we, as I said, I come from that environment, from such a family and, you know, among such people. I know, you know, it's in our roots and soul, and other devotees of my age, they probably can realize what I understand, what I mean. We appreciate honesty, straightforwardness, transparency, accountability, credibility, as those two words we used a lot, and when we started learning how you should run a successful organization, those are critical keywords. And Swedes are good at running organizations. We are some of the most respected international corporate leaders are from Sweden, and we are known for the what we call the flat structure, which I would say is more normal and working than the pyramid. So what happens when you try to put the pyramid here and you keep economy hidden for the members even? The rulership almost hidden. I don't know who is responsible for and in charge of this building I am in right now. And spoke to other neighbors who don't know it either. We don't know who is in the board that runs and owns this house. So, just as an example. So what happens then is, and now, this is reality. So sorry if I disturb some of the peaceful minds there. But what Swedish people do is that they don't fight you, they go away. And yes, they will talk about you behind their back, your back. We're good at that. That's how people do it here. So you will find sometimes them very quiet. And the ones who will remain, well, they are either the ones who just want the leader tell me what to do, give me food and a place to live. Well, we call it sometimes Shudra even. I'm not saying that those who remain are that, but that mentality is encouraged in that way. And which means that, and I would say we see it today, that many intelligent and able devotees who came, joined here in Sweden, ISKCON Sweden, they left ISKCON Sweden. I mean, face it. Or maybe they are passive supporters. So, you know, I talked to those devotees and I know the scene out here. Because that's where I live also. I'm kind of in between. So again, I needed to say that the reason I'm talking these words are not to agitate, but sometimes we need to actually wake up and look at reality, evaluate. This is also included in the running of an organization, a successful organization. You run projects, you stop a little now and then, and you evaluate. Did those people do a good job so far, or shall we change to other people? It's the project here for us. The projects are here to serve Krishna, to serve Prabhupada's movement, to serve the devotees, the Vaishnavas, so they can be strong and happy and serve Krishna, Sankirtan movement. We should look at it that way. It's not about serving this leader, that leader. Oh, here another great leader comes in, flying in this shining dress. Sorry, but sometimes this idealization, there's nothing wrong, I'm not talking about any of those people coming flying in. I think there are many wonderful devotees coming and visiting. And I love that in New Radhakund, we live there, so many devotees from all over the world I learned to know. I'm talking about the mentality that may develop, especially if the majority, sorry, of those in the group are of that kind of, oh, glorious leader, tell us what to do type. It becomes a kind of idol worship culture, which we, of course, find in religion. So this is part of a bigger discussion that should we turn ISKCON? Did Prabhupada want ISKCON to be turned into a religious institution? Or did he want spiritual dynamic movement of devotees serving, helping each other, supporting each other, sister brotherhood on the path back to Godhead? Well, yeah, that's another question.